And you'll see from your programmes that the reading is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV Bible. So that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thank you. Well, I think you know we're going to be talking about rest this morning. I think rest is one of those things that we all dream about as we juggle life. Hopefully you'll see some pictures of... And the next one, please. There we go. So, you know, you've got life, family, work, your head is spinning, and you wonder which ball are you going to drop next? Or maybe you're at a different stage of life, and rest is what all life is about now that you have retired and you just enjoy life. Or maybe ill health and disability stop you doing what you once were able to do, and you regret now that you can't do all the things you used to do. Rest is all you do, and oh, if it was so different. What do you think of when you think of rest? Maybe you think of putting your feet up for just one day without the kids, without all the pressure of work, without jobs to do around the house, just one day or even 1 hour of me time. Maybe you think of rest only as you crash exhausted amongst all the jobs, desperate for sleep. The dictionary reveals that rest can mean any number of things. I looked it up. It can mean a break. It can mean an absence of work. It can also mean the remainder. I'll have that half and you can have the rest. It can mean everything from a spoon rest, like this one on the board, or death. We speak of resting in peace. In music, we have a rest when you don't play a note. Or in America, they are one of these. If you are a Great British Bake Off fan, then you will know that rest means leaving your pastry so that the gluten can relax. Rest has a whole load of meanings, doesn't it, in everyday language. But of course, that's not what we are looking at. But before we look at what the Bible says about rest, I want you just to turn to your neighbour and talk about what is your ideal rest. Turn to your neighbour, what's your ideal rest? If you could have anything, what would it be?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess that a whole load of things will have come up there, a whole lot of things that we see, and we see rest in many different ways. I've got some here. Maybe it's just lying in the park, or a massage, or a good cup of tea, reading a book undisturbed, or just a night's sleep. Could be any of those things. But what is ideal rest? You see, maybe you work so that you can rest. You work hard to be able to enjoy your leisure, your rest. You work to make enough money so you can do all those fabulous things you enjoy and go on holiday to amazing places. Rest or leisure is what life is all about. Work is just what you have to do. Or maybe you rest to work. You see rest as the thing you do to enable you to work well. I need my rest so that I can work to the best of my ability to achieve and succeed. I need rest so I don't lose my temper with the children today, so that I can at least function in the morning. Rest is merely a means to an end. But I want us this morning to see rest as God sees rest. I don't know if you've ever done a word search in the Bible on the word rest. Probably not. You haven't got time. But rest is a big biblical theme. It comes so many times in numerous different places, right from the beginning, right through to the very end. But the reason I had read this morning that passage from Matthew is it's probably the most famous verse about rest. And you should have all the Bible verses on the screen, so you don't need to keep looking up the sheet if you don't want to, or looking them up. You can if you want to. So Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus here makes an amazing promise, doesn't he? He promises rest to everyone who is weary and burdened. Isn't that what we all want? We know what it is to be weary, don't we? We know what it's to be exhausted at the end of a day, and yet know there is still that pile of washing. There is still that list of jobs to do. That tomorrow, the whole process is going to start all over again. We're weary of trying to be the women that we are supposed to be. Weary of trying to work at relationships. Weary of being a success and keeping up with other people's expectations. We feel burdened by life and all its demands. All those responsibilities at home, in the workplace, responsibilities for children, for husbands, for elderly parents, for friends. And then there's church and a whole load more people and jobs which we should be responsible for. I mean, who else is going to do the coffee, the children's group, the toddler group, look after those who can't get out, visit the sick, care for those in need? We are also burdened by our own sense of failure, burdened by the battle with sin that we daily go through, burdened by the battles with other people's sin. We weary as we find ourselves once again failing to live up to what we think Jesus expects of us. We are burdened with seeking to live for Christ, to reach out to those we know who don't yet know him. You know, I know I'm supposed to talk about Jesus to my friends, but I know I should make time to read God's words, but I know I should love my neighbour, but, you know, I could go on and on. But Jesus says in this verse, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Really? That's not how it feels. Rather, it feels like, come to Jesus and you have a whole load of more jobs to do. Isn't that what you really, in the bottom of your hearts, you feel like? A friend of mine said, until she became a Christian, she had never needed a diary. She became a Christian and she needs one all the time. See, living the Christian life doesn't feel like a life of rest. So is this an empty promise of the Lord Jesus? Just a promise of rest for the future, and I've just got to tough it out now as I wait. No. This is a real and a fantastic promise. And it's one that we need to not only understand, but we need to trust and believe in to be free, to be true, so that we will be free from the drive and the battle to be successful and to be superwoman. You see, our problem is our hearts. My problem, if I'm honest, is that I am too busy and I overwork and fail to experience rest because of my heart. My heart is a mess. Now, that's something I hate to admit publicly, but actually, the root of all my poor time management, my overwork, is my sinful heart. And I hate to tell you, but so is yours. Whatever strategies we may put in place, bottom line, we have to start here. Because our business, I think, often looks like we're hardworking, we're committed, we're diligent, we're serving Christ. But actually, very often I think we are not serving Christ, but we are serving ourselves. We're seeking approval and fulfillment in being busy. Now, this picture that's coming up, I hope, I think asks a great question. One that's not just true of our society, but also true of Christians. Why do we glorify being busy? Because we do. I think we all do. We actually admire the people who are busy and seem to be coping, juggling all the sorts of different balls. Well, as human beings, we seek rest in all the wrong places. We find our identity in our business, in our work, in those relationships we strive to create and maintain. If you are single, you may think that you will find rest in a husband. If you're married, and that's those of you who are now laughing, maybe you hoped to find rest in your husband, but because he too has a sinful heart, that always seems to elude you. If you're a mother, maybe you knew physical rest wasn't what you were going to receive, but that you'd find rest and purpose in being a mother. If a grandmother, maybe you seek rest in enjoying your grandchildren without responsibility. But rest continues to be that mirage. It's in the distance. But as you get closer to it, it fades into more wearisomeness. Our restlessness is due to our failure to believe this promise that Jesus makes here. To fail to truly come to Jesus and find our rest in him and in him alone. We want to seek rest everywhere else except in the one who can truly give us rest. And that is actually what the whole Bible is pointing to. And so we're going to do a very brief Bible overview before we come back to these words of Jesus here in Matthew 11. Come back with me to Genesis 1. It'll be on the screen, so don't worry. And we're going to see how we were created for rest. So here we have verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. All the way through the creation narrative, we see that God saw what he'd made, and he says, it was good. As each day ends, that's the Lord's verdict on his creation. By the end of day six, God looks at all he's made, and it was very good. The work has been done. And in verse one, it is completed. And then the Lord rested. Now, he was not exhausted and weary and needing a rest. No, this is the rest that, because he has completed all he had planned to do. It's the rest of a job completed. God's plan was to create a world in which human beings, made in his image, would serve him and live for his glory. Rest is the goal of creation. This is the day that never ends. There is no morning and no evening on this day. As God rests, there's no end to it. This never-ending day is blessed by the Lord. It receives his total approval, and it's set apart for his glory. This is what we were created for, each and every one of us, to enjoy God's rest with him as his people in his creation. That's what we were created for. To enjoy God's rest with him as his people in his creation. So rest is not an absence of work. The Bible makes clear that the Lord is still working. He didn't create the world and then just bog off and leave it to run. He is still working. He is still sustaining his world. But he completed and rests from his work of creating. The first man and the woman are also enjoying God's rest. And yet, they are working. They are to be fruitful and multiply and to rule over the created order. We are not created to achieve. We're not created to please ourselves. We are created to enjoy God's rest, to find our relationship in him. But of course, we all know that's not how it stayed, because rest was spoilt. And in the next chapter, we see that. In chapter 3, the very next chapter, the man and the woman reject God's rule. They seek autonomy and they rebel against the word of God. And as a result, they lose the rest for which they were created. So they hide from God. Do you remember that picture where you see them trying to hide from God? And then they are evicted from the garden. And work becomes toil and burdensome. They become restless. Look at chapter 4 of Genesis. Here you will see the story of Cain and Abel. Cain murders his brother Abel, and he's judged. But look, the judgment is removal of rest. I'll read from verse 11. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be restless, a restless wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. Cain is going to be a restless wanderer. And it is that, not the hard work, that distresses him in verses 13 and 14. He knows that to be restless is to be driven from God's place and to be driven from God's presence. That, he says, is too hard to bear. And that was not just for Cain. Every human being born since Cain has been a restless wanderer on this earth. Every human being is hidden from God's presence and banished from his place. Every single human being is born restless. But because of the amazing grace of our God, he does not leave us to our restlessness. So rest is then promised. Only a few chapters later, the Lord promises Abraham rest. And although it's not defined in that way, the Lord promises Abraham and his descendants that one day they will live in God's place. They will live under his blessing. In other words, they will know God's presence in God's place. As we progress through, we see Moses promised rest. Look at these verses in Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses is promised rest. And again, note what rest is. It's the presence of the Lord with him. "My presence," the Lord says, "will go with you." Or in Deuteronomy chapter 12, here again on the board. This is later, and Moses is talking. He says, "You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit. Since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you, as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety." The Lord graciously again promises rest. Moses says he's going to give you rest, and rest is, in verse 5, the place where the Lord will put his name. The place where the Lord will dwell, verse 7. "There in the presence of the Lord you shall eat and rejoice and be blessed." Until they reach that place, they will not know true rest. And Joshua then sees the fulfillment of this promise. At the end of the book, as they're in the promised land, we hear this phrase, "The Lord gave them rest." But although God's people, they did enter the land, the Lord did give them rest, they sadly only had rest for short periods. If you read the book of Judges, which is one of the most depressing books, I think, in the Bible, God's people rebel again and again against the Lord. And each time they rebel, he sends an enemy to subdue them. They then realise their wrongdoing and they call on the Lord for a saviour. And he so graciously and generously sends them a judge who rescues them. But the phrase that repeats throughout the book of Judges is this: the land had rest for X number of years. But then the judge dies and the whole pattern starts again. As we move into Kings, we see God's people living in the land, and they look like they're enjoying God's rest. King Solomon builds this wonderful temple in all its glory, and he dedicates the temple to the Lord. During this, he says these words, Next slide, please. He, Solomon, stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. The Lord has given them rest, just as he promised. And now the presence of the Lord dwells in his temple amongst his people." That is a great moment in Israel's history. But it's short-lived. Only a little while later, Solomon rebels against the Lord's words, and the kingdom is torn in two. The kings go from bad to worse. They rebel against God's word. They're finally exiled and removed from the land, removed from the presence of the Lord. During this time, though, the prophets keep faithfully prophesying. Jeremiah and Isaiah, look at what they say. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Or Isaiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. If only they would come back to the Lord, they would find rest, but each time, no. So will true rest ever be achieved? Will there ever be a day when God will dwell with his people? Well, yes, because rest is promised again. God's promises do not fail. And the prophets start to speak of one who would come and bring rest. Isaiah says, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. A son of Jesse is going to come. Nations will come to him, and he will be a place of glorious rest. And a son of Jesse did come many years later. And he said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest is restored in Jesus. It becomes clear, doesn't it, that in the light of the Old Testament, Jesus is saying something truly amazing. Not just that we won't be tired if we come to Jesus or won't be weary of work. Rather, he's saying, as we come to Jesus, we will find rest for our souls. As we come to him, we will find the presence of God and deep rest. In the verses immediately before these verses, Jesus says a striking thing about himself. He says, no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is the very presence of God. He is the one in whom the fullness of God dwells, and it's only in him that we can know the Father. It's only through coming to Jesus that we can truly be the people that God created us to be. No longer to be hidden from his presence and to live under his blessing. It is only through Christ we find rest. So rest can never be found in what we do, in our circumstances. It can never be found in time off or a holiday. Rest can be never found in a long hot bath or a good book or whatever you said was your ideal rest. Rest is only found in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, who is the image of God, who is God with us. In him, we come to the very presence of God and being united to him who is gentle and humble in heart, we will find true, deep rest. The rest that eludes the world. They want rest. The world wants rest in so many things, but Jesus says, come to me. And we can do that because he finished his work. As he hung on that cross, rejected by those around him, bearing our sin and God's wrath, he cried, "It is finished." Not because he'd had enough, not because he was about to die, but because he'd finished his work. Literally, it means it's completed, paid for, job done. And because of his completed work, we can find rest for our souls. We can once again come back into relationship with the one who made us and live for him. That's the meaning of the curtain as it ripped in two as Jesus died. The presence of God was opened up, and we could come into his very presence. That is true rest. Now, that may not be the answer you were expecting. It may be not what you want to hear. But actually, this is the only rest that matters. There is no other rest that matters like this. This rest will make sense of absolutely everything else in your life. It will put everything else into perspective. Come to Jesus and find your rest in him. If you've never done that, do it today. Come to Jesus and find true and perfect rest in him. If you've already come to Jesus, it means we have to remember to be far more like Mary and far less like Martha. You remember them? The passages behind me. Martha was busy serving Jesus. She was working hard, fussing around the kitchen, making sure all was sorted, that everyone's needs were met. She was busy working, burdened by the jobs she had to do. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the word of God. Martha was getting in a tizzy because Mary was doing nothing, and I'm busting a gut serving you all. But look at what Jesus says in verses 41 and 42. Only one thing is needed: to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. To come to Jesus. To find rest in Jesus. Whatever else we do, we need to make sure we come to Jesus. To remember the incredible grace of our Lord to save us, to sit at his feet and listen to his words. As I said earlier, if we're too busy to do that, we are too busy. Because actually, as soon as coming to Jesus and sitting at his feet goes, we become resentful. We begrudge others, and we begrudge the Lord himself. And as the writer to Hebrews says, and you might want to look at this in your workshop groups later, we fall into disobedience, and so do not enter God's rest. Let's not be like the people of Israel, who failed to enter God's rest because they stopped trusting him and stopped coming to him. Keep coming to Jesus. Keep finding your rest in him. Keep coming into the presence of the Lord. And as the writer of the Hebrews says, approach the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy, and draw near to him. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you made this amazing promise. Come to me, all who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we are so sorry that so often we don't come to you. We seek to do it on our own. We push you to one side. We say we're too busy for you. Please, would you help each and every one of us to come to you
to find our true rest in you. Not in what we do, not in who we are, not in all the other things that the world tells us to find our rest in, but to find rest in you. To know that as we come to you, we come into your very presence. We have total access to approach the throne of grace. And we pray that you would help each and every one of us to do that today and every single day of the rest of our lives on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.